Today's Amud is Yevamos Tzaditas Amud Beis. We're holding by the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzaditas Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, Ha'isha shenis'arei v'lada b'vlad kalasa. You have a woman whose child gets mixed up with her daughter-in-law's child. So just to draw out the family tree, to picture the family tree, the whole Mishnah, both the Reisha and the Seifa, will be discussing the same family tree. A slight difference in the nuance as to what happened, but it's more or less the same family tree. So you have parents, you have Yaakov and Leah. Yaakov and Leah are married to each other. And Yaakov and Leah have two children. They have Reuven, they have Shimon, two children. They know it's their children. Nobody's getting lost. They have their hospital bracelets to prove it. Those are their children. Yaakov and Leah have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven goes ahead, and Reuven gets married to Fagi. Reuven gets married to Fagi, so now Fagi becomes Leah's daughter-in-law. Fagi and Leah are mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Leah is Reuven's mother, and Reuven's married to Fagi. So Fagi and Leah are now mother-in-law and Kalasar and her daughter-in-law. What happens next is Reuven and Fagi have a child. Reuven and Fagi have a child. We'll call him Zalmi. That's their child. Again, they have the hospital bracelet to prove it. No sveikus. They know that Zalmi is their child. What happens next is Fagi and Leah both go into labor at the same time. They go to the hospital. They both have boys. They both have boys, but they get mixed up in the hospital. They were spending time with each other, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, bonding time in the hospital, in the birthing ward, why not? And their children get mixed up. So their children are Mendi and Chaim. Each one takes one home. Let's say Fagi takes Mendi home, Leah takes Chaim home, whatever the case is. Lamaisa, those children are Sveikus. We don't know which one is actually Fagi and Reuven's child, and which one is Yaakov and Leah's child. So those kids are mixed up. Now technically, those kids' relationship is uncle and nephew. Right, Reuven's kid to and Reuven and Fagi's kid to Yaakov and Leah's kid is an uncle and a nephew. Reuven, because Yaakov and Leah's kid is really Reuven's brother, so his kid is a nephew. So these kids that are mixed up are uncle and nephew. That's the family tree. That's going to stay the same in the Reisha and in the Seifa of the Mishnah. What happens next is where there's a little bit of a difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. The case that we're going to be discussing right now is where the Sveikus, the Suffolk kids, get married. So let's say Mendi gets married to Henny, and Chaim gets married to Rivka. The two Sveikus, they get married, and the two Sveikus now die, and they didn't have any children with each other. So now Henny and Rivka fall to Yibam. They have definitely brother-in-laws, and they don't know who is who. Henny's brother-in-law might be Zalmi. Henny's brother-in-law might be Shimon. Rivka's brother-in-law might be Shimon. It also might be Zalmi. They don't really know. That's the case of the Mishnah. So just to speak it out outside, what's it called? Zalmi's going to have a problem. Zalmi's not going to be able to just perform Yibam with any of them, with Henny or Rivka. The reason is because to Zalmi, one of these ladies is really his uncle's ex-wife, is really his aunt. A person is not allowed to marry his aunt, his uncle's wife. So since Henny or Rivka, he doesn't know who, and one of them is usher to him, because one of them is his aunt, one of them was married to Reuven's brother, and he doesn't know which one's who, so therefore, Zalmi is going to have to do chalitza with both Henny and Rivka. He's not going to be able to perform any yibam. However, Shimon to Henny and Rivka, one of them says Yavama, the other one is his niece. The other one's a niece. A niece is mutter to a person. A person is allowed to be with his niece. And since Mimanafshach, they're both mutter, and one of them is his Yavama, so he could perform yibam with one of them. Now, he's going to first have to do chalitza. He's first going to have to do chalitza, and only after the chalitza, or the women, are going to first have to do chalitza with Zalmi before any of them does Yibam with Shimon. They're first going to have to both receive chalitza from Zalmi. The reason is because the one that Shimon ends up marrying might really be Zalmi's Shaymeres Yavav. So Zalmi's gonna first have to do Chalitza. After Zalmi does the two Chalitzas, so then Shimon could be Miyabim, whichever one he wants. And the Gemara is gonna point this out, that the Chalitza Dafka has to come first, because otherwise it might be a Shaymeres Yavav. So now to read it inside, Zakta Mishnah, Haisha Shinis Ari Vlada Bivlad Kalasa. You have a woman, you have Leah, whose child gets mixed up with her daughter-in-law's child. Her child gets mixed up with Fagi's child. They both had sons, and they got mixed up in the hospital. And they also both had Vadai sons. So the halacha is Higdilu Hataruvais. Once these mixed up children grow up, Vinasu Nashim, and they get married. Like we said, Mendi marries Henny, Chaya marries Rivka. They both get married. Umesu, and then they die without having any children. So Bineha Kala Cholzim Vlemiyavmin. The children of the daughter-in-law, referring to Zalmi. So Zalmi is only allowed to do Chalitza. He's not going to be able to do Yibam with either one of them, with Henny or Rivka. The reason being is, Shehu Safek Eishes Achiv, it's true there's one side that one of them might be his Shemeres Yava, might be his Eishes Achiv. However, the other side is it's a Safek Eishes Achi Aviv. There's a Safek that it's his aunt, the wife of his father's brother, the wife of his uncle. And that is Aser to him. So because of that, he has to do Chalitza to both of them. Whereas Bnei HaZakena, the children of the old lady, referring to Leah, the oldie, so her children, let's say Shimon, he could do Chalitza, or he could do Yibam. There's nothing stopping him from doing Yibam with the two women. The reason being is, Shesafik Eishes Achiv, Ve'eshes Ben Achiv. There might be his Eishes Achiv, his Eishes Ach, which is Mamish, his Shomeres Yavam, a big mitzvah. And even on the other side, it's that it's the wife of his nephew. It's his niece, which is Mutter to him. So there's no tzad that any of the ladies are Aser to him, but mainly he could do Yibam with both or with any one of the women, if he so chooses. But again, like we said, the Gemara is going to point out that the Chalitza has to come first to make sure that none of them are Shemeres Yava. The next case of the Mishnah is almost exactly the same. We have the same family tree. Yaakov and Leah are married to each other. They have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven marries Fagi. They have a child, Salmi. Everything's the same. Reuven and Fagi and Yaakov and Leah go into labor at the same time. They have two boys, Mendi and Chaim. Everything's exactly the same. The thing that's changing now in this case is that instead of Mendi and Chaim marrying Henny and Rivka, like we had in the previous case, now Mendi and Chaim, they might still be little. They never got married, at least not yet. Instead, Zalmi and Shimon, the two Vadai kids, Reuven and Fagi had a Vadai child, Zalmi. Yaakov and Leah have a Vadai child, Shimon. Zalmi and Shimon get married. Zalmi marries Henny, and Shimon marries Rivka. And then Zalmi and Shimon both die. So now Henny and Rivka are falling to the Sveikas. They're falling to Yibam, to Mendi and Chaim. One of them is the brother-in-law, is the Yavam. The other one, so that's gonna depend. So Rivka is not gonna be able to do Yibam with any one of these, with any one of these Yavamin. She's not gonna be able to do Yibam with either Mendi or Chaim. The reason being is because it's true, one of them might be her husband's brother, might be Shimon's brother, might be her Ishasa, or might be the brother-in-law. But the other one is her nephew. A nephew to an aunt is totally usher. So because one of them's a nephew, she's gonna have to receive Chalitza from both Mendi and Chaim. However, Henny, who is Zalmi's wife, Henny, when she falls to Yibam, so she's gonna be mutter to both of them technically. She's mutter to Mendi and mutter to Chaim. One of them is her brother-in-law that she falls to Yibam to. The other one is gonna be her uncle. An uncle and a niece are mutter. Uncle and nieces are mutter. So therefore she's gonna be mutter to do Yibam with either one of them. She's gonna first have to do Chalitza, of course, because she might really be a Shemeres Yavam to the other one. So she's first going to have to receive Chalitza from whichever one, and then to the second one, she could do Yibam, and it's going to be Manufshach, it's going to be Mutter, and again, the Gemara is going to point this out as well, that the Chalitza has to come first, because otherwise she might be a Shemeres Yavam. So now to read it inside, says the Mishnah, that Mesu HaKsherim, let's say the Ksherim die, who we'll see in the Gemara is going to explain that Ksherim just means the Vadai children. Interesting that it calls them Ksherim, but it's really just referring to the Vadai children, it's referring to Zalmi and Shimon. If Mesu Aksherim, if the Vandai children die, meaning they're the ones who were married, they're the ones who died without having any children, and now the wives fall to the Teruvais, so at Teruvais, Livnea Zekena Choltim Loimi Yavmin, so the Teruvais, the Mendian Chayim, to the Bnei Azekena, to Rivka, so they're gonna have to do Dafka Chalitza but not Yibam. They're gonna have to do Dafka Chalitza not Yibam. The reason being is because Shusavik Eishes Achiv, the Eishes Achi Aviv. It's true, there's a tzad that one of them is an Eishes Ach, but there's also a tzad that to one of them, it's really their Eishes Achi Aviv. It's really their aunt. So that's why Mendi and Chaim are, neither of them are gonna be able to do Yibam with Rivka, because Rivka is one of their aunts. So they're not going to be able to do Yibam. And Levnei Akala, the Taruvais, Mendin Chaim, to the Bnei Akala, referring to Heni, so that Echad Chaylitz, Echad Miyabi, one of them does Chalitza, and then the other one could do Yibam. And like we said, the Gemara is going to point out, Stafka Chalitza first to make sure that she's on a Shemeres Yavam, and then the other one will Miman of Shach be in the clear. Now, Zak the Mishnah, a new case, not directly related to Yibam, but also discussing mix-ups in the hospital. So, Kayhena Shenis Ari Vlada Bivlad Shivchasa. Over here we have an interesting case. You had a Kayen and his wife, the Kayhenes, and they had a Shivcha together. They also had a maidservant, a non-Jewish Shivcha. And the Kayhenes went into labor at the same time as her Shivcha. They went into labor at the same time. They were in the hospital together, hanging out, and their children got mixed up. And they lost the hospital bracelets. So now their children are mixed up. They don't know about each child. Maybe the child is a Kayen, is a full-fledged Yisrael. Is a Yehudi, I should say. One of them is a Yehudi, one of them is a Jew, and he's a Kayen. The other one's an Eved. The other one's the son of a Shifcha. The other one's an Eved. So the halacha is that Harei Elu Eichlam B'Truma. Lemaisa, both of them are able to eat Truma Mimanavshach, because the Eved of a Kayen is also able to eat Truma. So either he's the Kayen or he's the Eved of a Kayen. Mimanef Shach, both children are going to be allowed to eat Truma. V'chok and Chelek Echad Begayren, they get one portion of Truma in the threshing place. They only get one portion. The Gemara is going to explain. Obviously, they only get one portion. They all come from the same bias. Either it's the son of the Kayen or the Eved of the Kayen, but either way, it's one Mishpacha. Why would I think they would be able to get two Chalakim? The Gemara will explain this. Says the Mishnah, Vayter Mur Halachais, that Ve'en and Metamin L'Mesim, neither of them are allowed to be metame for a mace, because it's a suffix. One of them is a kayin. Ve'ena nice and nashim and bank shares bank sulais. Neither of them are able to get married. They can't marry a kasher, a yisraelis, because one of them is an eved, and an eved can't marry a yisraelis. And they also can't marry psulais, because one of them is a full-fledged Yehudi. One of them is a kayin. One of them is a Jew. So they can't marry anybody. Higdilu ataruvais v'shichru zezeh. Let's say they get older, and they free each other outside of Suffolk. One of them is the Eved, one of them is the owner, so they both free each other just to take care of all Tzadim. Now, Mimanefshach, one of them is going to be, one of them is a Kayin, and the other one is now a Yisrael. A freed Eved becomes a Yisrael. So they're both Jewish, but now one's a Kayin, one's a Yisrael. So now, Nais and Nashim Ru'uyais Lekahuna. So now they can for sure get married, they just have to make sure that the woman is someone who's technically mutter to marry a Kayin. And then Mimanefshach, everyone is doing something fine, because a Yisrael can marry someone who's Roy Lekayin, and a Kayin could definitely marry someone who's Roy Lekayin. So that's what they'll have to do, and that would be a way that they could get married. Ve'inan Mentam and Lemesim, they're still not allowed to become Tame Mace, because, again, because one of them's a Kayin, so they can't become Tamei Meis. For Kravim, obviously, Miman of Shach, that would be Mutter, but otherwise they cannot become Tamei Meis. Ve'im Nitmu'u, however, if they do become Tamei Meis, so Einan Saifkin Arabayim, neither of them will be Chayiv Malkus, because you wouldn't be able to give either one of them Malkus. If you try giving one Malkus, he'll say, maybe I'm not a Kayin, you can't give me Malkus. You try giving the other one, he'll say, maybe I'm not a Kayin, you can't give me Malkus, Misafik. So neither of them will get Malkus. Ve'inan Eichlam Mitrumah, In this case, now they're not allowed to eat truma because one of them is Yisrael, and Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. So neither of them could eat truma. Ve'im achlu, at the same time, if they did eat truma, let's say they went to another kain's truma pile and they ate it, so einan mishalmin karen v'chaymesh. They're not going to have to pay the kain the principal plus the additional fifth that normally Yisrael, who ate someone else's truma, would have to do, because in this case, hamaitzi mechaveira alav haraya. If the Vaday Kayin tries to tell them, hey, pay up, so each one of them could say, you can't make me pay, maybe I'm a Kayin and I'm allowed to eat it. You can't make, and then he goes to the other one, he'll say the same thing, you can't make me pay, maybe I'm a Kayin. So so he's not going to be able to force any one of them to pay money for it, so Hamaitzi Mechaber Alav Haraya will dictate that they don't have to pay for the Truma if they would eat it, even though it's Asr for them to do so. Ve'inan Chalkin Al Gairin, it goes without saying that therefore they cannot go to the threshing house and receive Truma, because they're not allowed to eat truma. Umaychren esat truma v'adam in shalahen. At the same time, if they have their own truma, if they have their own produce and they separate trumas and maestras, so nobody could demand that they give it to them, because they could say, maybe I'm a kayin, so I could keep it for myself. So no kayin could go to them and say, give me the truma, because amaytzi min chaveiro alav haraya. At the same time, they have to separate it. There's a mitzvah of hafrashas truma. That's something that even a kayin has to do. However, now that they have this truma, they don't have to give it away to any kayin. They could sell it to a kayin. They can't eat it themselves. They could sell it to a kayin, and the money is completely theirs. They own it because they're not allowed to receive parts of the karbanis that normally go to the kehanim, like the iris, like the skins. They are not allowed to receive that because they might not be kehanim. Each one of them might not be a kayin. You can't give them chalakim of the carbon like a bechar. You can't give them kachim because either one of them might not be a kayin. So there's neither one of them could you give kachim to. Vein maitzian shalahen midayim. At the same time, if they have, let's say, a bechar, so you can't force them to cough it up because each one of them could say, maybe I'm a kayin. Upaturim min azraya min alechayim min akeva. They do not have to take off when they shecht chulin. Normally a person has to take off zraya, lechayim, and keva to give to the kayin. In this case, if either one of them shech something, they won't have to give those matnas kahuna because each one of them could say, maybe I'm a kain, and I might see mechavera alav haraya. Ubechayroi, each one of them, if they have a bechar behema, so yehiraya achi istaiv, you let it graze until it develops a mum, and then the nice then alav chumre kehanim v'chumre yisraelim, and then you give the bechar the chumras of as if the owner is a kain and as if the owner is Yisrael. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. But the point is that basically you have to treat them with the suffix in mind and give them all the different potential chumras. It's interesting, the Mishnah doesn't discuss what's going to be the halacha by Birkas Kehanim, which is one of the most negated things nowadays, especially in Eretz Yisrael or for Sfaradim and Chutz Laretz. So what do you do? A suffix kayin, what's the halacha? Does a suffix kayin duchen or does he not duchen? On the one hand, you'll say, if he's Yisrael, there's an Isser Asay for him to duchen. So how could you allow him to duchen? On the other hand, if he's a kayin and he doesn't duchen, he's over on 3 asin. We'll get to that in the Masechta Saita. So he's over on 3 asin. So then he should duchen. Big machlek, big sugi in the paiskim. Exactly what to do about Birkas Kehanim. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah, but it is discussed by the paiskim. What's the din of a safek kayin when it comes to Birkas Kehanim? Akapan in the Gemara now starts off and points out a couple of the points that we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah. It says that Misa Ksheirim, it calls them Ksheirim, says the Gemara, Allah Hanach Mishum Di Arav Luhu Havalu Psulin, and the ones that were mixed up. So they're Psulin just because they got mixed up, so now they're Pasul. Amra Papa Ema Umesu Havadain. In a Hanami switched the Nusach, switched the Girsa. It's not Ksheirim. Really, what the Mishnah means to be describing is the Vadain, is the Vade children versus the Safik children. Nothing to do with Ksheirim and Psulin. We mentioned also in the Mishnah that first is chalitza then yibam. So the Gemara points this out also, that dafka michlat vader yivume, the order is specific that it's dafka chalitza and then yibam. Avo yivume bereish aloy the kapagab yivam alishak. You can't do yibam first until all the chalitzas are done, because maybe she's a shemeres yava, maybe she's a yivam alishak, and therefore all potential chalitzas need to take place before anything, any sort of yibam in the cases of the Mishnah. Kehenes shenes arei v'chulu. Then the Mishnah spoke about the case of the Kehenes and the Shifcha whose children got mixed up, and the Mishnah said that this Suffolk, these Suffolk children, the Suffolk child of the Kehenes and the Shifcha, one of them is a Kayeh, the other one's an Eved, so when they go to the threshing house, so they could both eat Truma, Mima Nefshach, even an Eved of a Kayeh is allowed to eat Truma, so they could both eat Truma, but when they go to the threshing house, the Mishnah said that they only take one Chelek. Says the Gemara, Chelek Echad Pshita. Of course they could only take one Chelek. Lemaisa, they're from the same Mishpacha. Why would I think that they could take more than one Chelek? So says the Gemara in Achanami, Eima Chelek Ke'echad. It doesn't mean Chelek Echad, it's Chelek Ke'echad. Not that they can only take one portion, but they have to take a portion like they are one. Meaning that they have to come together. When they come to take Truma from the Beis Agranais, they have to come together. You can't have any one of them coming by them by himself. They have to dafka both come together. The reason is because, as we're going to see soon, an Eved is not allowed to collect Truma from the Beis Agranais. Since any one of these two might be an Eved, you can't send one by himself to collect the Truma. They both will have to go together. This way, Mimanifshach, you have over there a Kayin who's not an Eved. You have a regular Kayin. So that's why they both have to come. Ke'echa, they take a Chilek Ke'echa, they have to come together. Which says the Gemara is a Tnan, Keman Damer, in Chol and Truma Le'Eved. This is a Mishnah which supports the Man Damer who says that you do not, in Chol and Truma Le'Eved, Elohim Kain Rabba Imai. That you don't give out Truma to an Eved unless his master is there. You only give Eved, you can only give an Eved Truma if he's together with his master. We'll see soon the reason for that. The Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, that ein chalk and truma le'eved elam kein rabbi imay divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the understanding that you're not allowed to give truma to an eved unless he's together with his master. Rabbi Yaisi aimer, Rabbi Yaisi is chaylik, and Rabbi Yaisi says that no, yachol sheyaimer, any one of them could show up to the Beis HaGranais himself, and he could collect truma, and he could say, miman nefshach, give me truma. Im kayin ani tenuli b'shvil atzmi. If I'm the kayin, so then give me because I'm a kayin. Then Eved Kayin Ani, if I'm the slave of a Kayin, so then Tanuli Bishvil Rabbi, so they give me because of my master. And the fact that I'm an Eved is not a reason that you don't give me Truma. You give Truma even to an Eved. What's the Pshat and the Machlekes about whether you could give Truma to an Eved? Says the Gemara that b'mkaymai shel Rabbi Yehuda hayumalim mitruma liyachsen, because in Rabbi Yehuda's locale they used to see a person getting truma right away. They would say, ah, he must be a kayin miyachas, and they would assume that he is a full fledged kayin. As soon as they saw someone collecting truma, that's what they assumed. That was the understanding. Because that was the understanding, so therefore they had to make a halacha that an eved cannot collect truma by himself. Because if people see an eved collecting truma, they're going to say, ah, he's a kayin, he's a kayin miyuchas. So because they had this rule that you could be ma'al and mitruma liyachsen, so they had to then make a clause that an eved cannot collect truma by himself, because otherwise people are going to assume that he's a kasher or a kayin. As opposed to in Rabbi Yaisi's locale, they didn't have such a understanding that if you see someone collecting truma, then you're allowed to assume he's a kayin miyuchas, being that they never had such an understanding, so there would be nothing wrong with an eved collecting his own truma. We'll conclude with a story. It says the Gemara, Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik said that miyamai lehi adati ela edus echad. That in my entire life, I was never summoned to court to give edus. Only one time. One time I gave edus, and boy, was that a fail. Because of my edus, vehelu eved lekuhuna alpi. Because of my edus, I was made about an eved. The Gemara will explain in a moment. He says, I was made about an Eved. He was made about an Eved that was collecting Truma from the Beis HaGranais. And because of that, they turned him into a Kayin. They assumed that because he was collecting Truma from the Beis HaGranais, that he was a Kayin. And really he wasn't. Really he was an Eved. The Pshat is because he saw in Rabbi Yaisi's locale that he was collecting Truma. And he was made in Rabbi Yehuda's locale. So he took what was happening by Rabbi Yaisi's locale, that an Eved was collecting Truma. he said it over in the Asrei Rabbi Yehuda, and Asrei Rabbi Yehuda, a person who's collecting Truma Zakayin. So that's where the mix-up happened, but that's the Maisa, what he said. Ask the Gemara, Helu Salkadaitoch, could it be that really a mistake happened because of something that Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadik said? He gave Eidus, and because of that, a mistake actually happened, and an Eved was turned into a Kayin? Hashta behemton shal tzadikim, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu mevita kal al yadon. Says the Gemara, look at Mesechus Chul and Dav Zayinam and Aleph. We have a whole story with the Chamar of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was misavivit, that the Chamar didn't do an Isser, and because it was the Chamar of a Tzadik. So you see, a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even let Isser happen through the animal of Tzadikim, through the Chamar of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. So Tzadikim, Atzman, Lekol Shekein, wouldn't it be fair to assume that all the more so, Hashem is not going to allow Takala to happen through a Tzadik? Hashem doesn't allow mistakes to happen through Tzadikim like that, that an Isser should happen through a Tzadik. It can't be such a thing. Says the Gemara, Ela Eima Bikshu Lahalis Ever Lekuhuna Alpi. Now really what Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadik said is not that they made the Eved into a Kayin, but they wanted to. They were about to, and then the mistake was discovered and it didn't end up happening. But the one Eidus I gave, they almost ended up making an Eved into a Kayin. What happened was, like we just said, is that Chaza Ba'asrei Rabbi Yaisi, he saw an Eved collecting Truma. He saw a person collecting Truma from the Beis HaGranais in the place of Rabbi Yaisi, and then Va'azal Va'asid Va'asid Rabbi Yehuda. He went and he testified it by Rabbi Yehuda. They were understanding that it happened by Rabbi Yehuda, and by Rabbi Yehuda, if someone's collecting Truma, means he's a Kayin Miyachas. Really, he wasn't. This story all happened Ba'asid Rabbi Yaisi. That was the mistake that almost happened, and that's what the Gemara says. It can't be it actually happened, because the Kadosh Baruch would never let a mistake happen through Tzadikim. An interesting Taisus over here, that Dibur Maschil Salkadaitach says, not to be Gairis these last few lines about the Behemtan Shal Tzadikim. These are lines that come up in Shas in a few places. Taisus understands that this is only by when it comes to Isurei Achila. This cloud that the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow Takalas to happen through Tzadikim is a cloud that's true Dafka by Isurei Achila. When it comes to Isurei Achila, Hashem's not going to allow a Tzadik to stumble. You are what you eat. If a Tzadik stumbles by Isurei Achila, that then becomes part of his DNA, because you are what you eat. The food that you eat becomes part of you, and it becomes part of your bones. It goes into you. That's something that Kadosh Baruch Hu would never let, that a tzaddik will be nichshol and to get timtum alev and have isuri achila be part of him. That's something that Kadosh Baruch Hu would never let happen. But things that are not inside of the person, things that are not isuri achila, so there are times that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will allow such a thing to happen. A person could lose his ashkacha prat, his ashkacha, and he could talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu could allow a tzaddik to stumble, and therefore it says Taisus not to be gairis these last few lines. Rashi seems like he is gairis it. Fine, Bez Hashem will continue from here in the following shiur.